My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth of my love. Joy creates the type of breeze that brings new direction to those that doubt spring is coming. The cooling blue skies that exist in my world are truly infectious. I hate the thought of slumber because it denies me too many moments when I'm not impacting the world. The passion I have for life cannot be contained by the dark clouds of my personal doubts. I have mastered my own negativity in a way that reduces any reduction in my productivity. Now every day is the net profit of my existence. My ball of life bounces off the foundation of obstacles, which were overcome with a smile. I now see the roadblocks as the items that give my reason for living value. My self-worth is discovered in the way that I enjoy bringing happiness to others. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week. 6 p.m. Sunday through Friday, East Coast time. 3 p.m. West Coast time. Saturday at 8 p.m. East Coast time. And 5 p.m. West Coast time. This is a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we participate in our world in a way that brings greatness to our existence. It is now time that we make sure that we no longer exist on the sideline, but are fully involved in the game that is going to determine our fate. I look forward to you calling in my show, 657-383-0309, so that your voice is heard without a filter.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, you know, it has been a wonderful week, and I am so happy and pleased to be here with you this Friday. You know, I look forward to having the opportunity to share my thoughts with you and have you share your thoughts with me each and every day. We're here 7 times a week, Sunday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time. On Saturdays, we're here at 8 p.m. East Coast Time, 5 p.m. West Coast Time. We're always here so your voice can be heard loud and clear. It is important for us to be a part of a movement that is going to change the way things are done here in the United States. We have to make sure that our voices are heard loud and clear each and every day. We're going to take a short break to give everybody an opportunity to get on board and get online. And it is important for us to recognize that we need to be here so that our voices can be heard and we can talk about the things that impact our lives now and in the future.
My life provides the world with the opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package.
My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth.
Hello, I'm the music major. This is my man Jayon Gray. He got a question to ask.
Trouble when it comes to marriages, and the fact that we have now more than 50% of marriages fail, and there are a number of reasons why marriages fail. But when two people truly love each other enough to say that they I do, you know, we have to take those words extremely serious, and we have to know what it is that is required. And women have to make men accountable for the words that they share with them. And men need to make women accountable for the words
that they share as well. And when you talk about loving each other and caring about one another and creating a family, you have to realize that there's a lot more to lose than just that marriage. You know, you have children involved. And I have to tell you, I had two wonderful parents. I had a great father and a great mother. And they both deposited a lot of information into my spirit. And I believe my mother was a great wife. But for some reason, my father was unable to accept what she brought to the table without trying to involve other individuals. And so I say that because, you know, we have to talk about the kind of detriment and the kind of damage it does to both men and women when they're not committed to their marriages, the kind of detriment it brings to sons and daughters not to have both of their parents working together for a, you know, a solid goal or traveling the same road. I am a believer, and I know that a lot of those of you who call in are believers, and we have to know that God has a purpose for our marriage. And in that, when we engage in infidelity, it puts us outside of his umbrella, which means that we may fall prey to some disastrous things. And I have to tell you, I know firsthand how much damage can be done to a person's spirit and to a person's life when they engage in infidelity, when you break that seal of commitment to another individual. So my father lived a very rough life after he broke his commitment to my mother. You know, he very well could have been a millionaire had he been willing or able to stay committed to one woman. And when he didn't, his professional life became a disaster. And his physical health became a disaster. So you have to be very careful of the kinds of things that you bring upon yourself when you venture outside your marriage. And it's just not something that you or anyone should take lightly, because it is a very devastating thing. Kathy, it seems that you and I are the only ones on the line right now, and I'm talking about the detriment that infidelity can bring to a person's life. And somehow our society has gotten kind of used to men cheating and women cheating, and we don't realize the kind of damage that that can do to men and women on a personal level or due to their families.
Well, you talked about the number one key to keeping a marriage together, which is commitment. You have to be committed to the cause regardless of whatever may go on in the relationship. When you say I do, it needs to be I do, because there are going to be times when everything is not happy, everything is not joy, everything is not loving, but you have to stay committed and you have to communicate. If you're not communicating, then you are going to have problems. There are going to be situations that come up. The enemy is going to come in between wherever he can, because if you're not communicating with your spouse, telling them what you need, what you like, then there's going to be a problem. Because if I like to be hugged, and if I never share that with my spouse and he never hugs me, then I'm going to look for hugs somewhere else. That's why it's very important to talk about everything. Be committed regardless of what's going on. Sometimes you can even think something, and it's not even that, but if you don't talk about it, then you won't be able to find that information out. And also, trust. You got to trust. If I say I love you and I believe you, then you got to trust what your spouse says. You got to go with them all the way. But see, what happens is in a relationship, in the beginning, everything is happy, loving, you know, joy and peace because this is new. You know, we touching, we loving each other, but then life hits, you know, and then it's time to see who is who and what is what. And that's the time where you really, really need to band together because it's not going to be like in the beginning. So I have to trust that, hey, whatever, if my spouse say we can't do this week or next month, then we can't do it. I got to trust that he has a plan, you know, for us later on down the line. But that's where the disconnect comes in because the communication, the commitment, and the trust. Those are some of the key factors. And as for a man, I know even, you know, every day when we wake up, my husband wants kisses. He wants to hug. You know, I know that's something that he wants. So, you know, I don't always feel like it, but I know that that's what he needs, you know, to keep him going. So, hey, I'm right there. I'm embracing him, hugging him, loving him, whatever it is that he needs to keep him going, to keep him knowing that, hey, everything all right, baby. I got your back. You feeling what? Okay, give me a hug. Get, you know, go on, do what you got to do. But that keeps him in love with me, interested in what's going on with me because so many times as time goes on, you know, we lose that that connection, that touchy-feely connection that we have with one another. But you have to keep that a part of the marriage, the relationship as well.
And you have to be accountable. You know, so many people get into relationships and they get into marriages and they don't want to be accountable. They don't want to have people checking on them. And it's not about, you know, when you fall in love with someone, you want to know that person is safe. You want to know that that person welfare is always primary in your mind. And so you can't act like you're single anymore and that you're not accountable. So, you know, you need to give me a call if you can throughout the day. You need to let me know when you're going to be late coming home or you got something that's going to alter your normal activities. And you have to be aware that you shouldn't put yourself in danger. One of the most important things in the world is that we know when danger is coming. Long before it gets there, danger is making you aware of who it is. And I knew I had a pastor who once said, don't go around fixing people's, repairing people's refrigerators. Don't go around helping people, you know, in terms of single women, you know, and so don't put yourself in positions where you can lose control of yourself. You always be wary of what kind of positions you're putting yourself in. And it's so true that when you say that you do those kinds of things that your husband needs, that is the accountability also where you're doing what it takes to keep each other happy and motivated. And sincere about the connection. You can't lose sight of what it is that your partner needs in order to keep him safe. And it's important for both parties to keep each other safe. I think it is a beautiful thing to tell your lady every day how beautiful she is and how sweet she looks and how nice. So that if anybody else tells her that, she's like, oh, yeah, my husband told me that this morning. You know,
and get used to doing
the kinds of things that makes her feel special. You know, if she says her feet hurt and her feet are tired, you know, don't keep going on about your business and going on and making you a sandwich. She said her feet are tired. Get you some lotion and massage her feet. You know, and so when people say things to you, don't look to ignore them. Look to address them. And that'll help the long term of the marriage when both people are addressing each other's concerns and needs. And I tell people all the time, you know, I think there are is an appropriate time for married people to be outside the house, and then there's an inappropriate time. Now, the two of you might have to get together and decide what that time is, but you shouldn't be coming in your house after midnight and your partner not know where you've been. I don't think you should be coming in after 10 o'clock and your partner not know where you've been. If you've been off work since 5, there should be a designated amount of time that you should be home, or your partner, you called your partner and say, hey, me and the girlfriends decided they wanted to go have an early dinner. That's fine, but you need to tell somebody that. You can't just go off like you a lone wolf. There's so many people want to be single and married, and I don't believe that works.
Right, you're right. They want the benefits of the marriage, but then they want the benefits of being single as well, and you're absolutely right. It doesn't work. And, yes, my husband do every day. He calls me, have you made it in to work yet? I say, yeah, baby, I'm here. Okay, have a good day. When I'm on my way home, how far are you out? So, yeah, and like you said about the going out, if we go out, I mean, hey, I'm going over Peter's house and I'll be back before 10. So, yeah, so we do keep, that's where that communication comes in at. And that is a must have. You have to have that communication, because so many people, I recall in the first marriage, that there was no communication there. There was no commitment there. And that's why it did not last. That's why we fought all the time, because we did not have the essentials needed to keep that marriage going. And also there was some other stuff going on as well. But after that marriage, I didn't want to get married again. But, God brought this person into my life. And so I knew this time there were some things that I needed to do and stay committed to in order to succeed. And that's what our focus is succeeding in this marriage and being a testimony to the people around us that marriage does work. This is how God has ordained it, and this is how we're going to do it. If each person knows their role as a married couple, then there's no way that it cannot work unless a person just do not want to be in the marriage and they get into it for the wrong reason.
And I have to tell you something. A lot of people around the world, and I'm just going to say this because it's the way I believe, a lot of people around the world are in denial. And they're in denial because they want to believe that marriage is not for everybody. The truth is, marriage is for everybody. But whether everybody is prepared to do what it takes to make a marriage work is the question. Some people are just not committed or have the tools or haven't sought to have to obtain the tools to make marriage work. And so if you are selfish and you want to live a selfish existence, then maybe marriage will not work for you. But in terms of it being a better existence, I can't imagine it not being. I sit here at my home sometimes and I think about the times when I've just gotten ill and I wanted it, how nice it would be to have somebody to just be there with you as you go through your miserable moment. We all
right.
have moments when we're miserable and we need somebody to comfort us. And you can't ask a child to give up what is going on in their life to be a part of your misery. It is just sometimes when you just like this, you can't watch a good movie unless you're watching it with somebody so y'all can enjoy it together. So though I thrive as a single person, I know that I would be much better off as a married person, because God say, when God tell you it ain't good for a man or woman to be alone, that's because he knows. I mean, it ain't because he's guessing. He said that because he knew that life would always be better if a man had a partner, a helpmate, someone to get you through the rough time. And so it is, you know, sometimes in society we have a lot of people in the world who fool themselves and say, I don't want to get married. You know, that might be what you say with your mouth, but the true thing is we all need to be connected to someone who cares about us in a unique and special way. And that's
absolutely.
I'm going on record with that. You know, some people swear, oh, no, life is better single. I can't tell you. It doesn't seem that way to me. I have a much bigger smile on my face if I came home another human being, or I was, you know, there's some differences that you cannot, you know, there's some things that you cannot do and you cannot have as a single person. And people need to be real about that and stop fooling themselves. And I'm ready and prepared to argue with anyone who says otherwise, you know. But it's important that we recognize. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you have to put yourself out there, James, so that you can meet that young lady that's out there waiting for you. She's waiting for you. So you have to put yourself out there. She's praying for you even right now as we're having this conversation, because God knows your needs and he knows the desires that you have. So there's some woman somewhere praying for her husband, and God is trying to prepare you so that you guys can meet, and then you can go on and be happy like you said you would be, you know, if you had that person there with you to laugh with you, to eat with you, to talk with you, to do everything together as it's supposed to be. Because the Bible says that the two shall become one. Say what it said, man shall not live alone. So once you get married, then the two shall become one. That means that the way God has ordained it is that you should be on one accord with your other half on everything. That's how it was put in the Word of God. And I know sometimes I'll call Michael and he'll call me and he'll say, let's do such and such. I'll say, man, I was just thinking about that. So that means that we're on one accord, and that's how it is. So as your wife, wherever she may be, is praying for you, then you have to begin to prepare yourself and pray for her, you know, and God will connect you at the appointed time so that you can come together as a union.
And I truly believe that you're right. We all, during that solitude time, need to be practicing on being the person that we need to be when we meet the perfect individual. And, you know, today as we're talking about love and connections and marriage and being committed and not participating in infidelity, people have to know the detriment that is caused when they are willing to go outside their marriage, and that they're supposed to seek and find everything they need and desire in the context of their connection and not allow themselves the freedom to go outside of that, because there is nothing but destruction outside your vows. You know, women have the ability to forgive, and certainly men can try to develop the willingness to forgive. But you've always would have done some damage that would not allow you to fully mend. And so you don't want to even go there. You don't even want to damage yourselves in any fashion. So if there's anybody out there thinking about it, please give another thought to it. And because this week, these next 12 days, we're talking about the kinds of things you need to do to make your connection, your love stronger to the point that it can be all that you need it to be. And there are always people out there who are willing, prepared to help you or assist you to damage your relationship. Believe me, the devil has got people out there who will say or do anything to get you to turn your back on your vows, but you have to be willing to I say, hey, that is not even an option. And make sure, because though I have had two marriages, I want to be a champion for marriage, because I know that it is a viable part of those who are truly committed to it.
And you are a champion for marriage. You know that once the Lord brings your wife into your life, that you know what it is that you need to do to keep it going strong and be that champion and take it all the way to the end. And again, I know she's somewhere praying, because I know that you're not going to get anybody outside of what God has for you. So, I mean, that's what makes a difference. When a man and a woman come together, when the wife, the woman is already praying for her husband, as the husband is already praying for the woman that God has for him, that makes it even better. Not saying that everybody does that, because, you know, when we first got married, we weren't praying together because of where we were in our life. But as time progressed, you know, as we matured, as we elevated to new levels in our lives, we began to pray together. You know, I intercede for him all the time. Sometimes he'll stop and say, babe, I just need to pray for you. So, you know, it comes with time. It makes it better when you do things like that. And the communication, and like you said, the accountability, those are things that should be in the marriage book when you go before the justice of the peace, to say we're going to be accountable to each other. We're going to commit to each other. We're going to communicate. You know, those are things that should be in there, because, again, when you first get married, it's all la-di-da-di, and you get married, you got a ring. As for a woman, you get married, you got a ring, you finna live in this house, you know. You're going to get these things that you're supposed to get from this great man that you just met. I mean, all these things that women think about when they're getting ready to get married.
And it should be the same way for men. So often men are acting as though they're afraid and they're uneasy, they're unsure. But you need to be very sure of what it is that you're doing, and make sure that you're willing to go all in. There shouldn't be anything left on reserves related to having a commitment to the person you've decided to be with for the rest of your life. And you can't live as though there's some options. I know that as I move forward, if there ever comes a time that I say I do again, I want it to be for life. I don't want there to be any thing out there that says to me, oh, okay, well, you know, you can always get a divorce. And certainly I'm disappointed that I have had two already, but certainly I do not want a third, or hope or feel like there might be a third, or that is the way out. And you can't ever think that way. Hi, Regina. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing awesome. Regina, let me just ask you, what do you think about of marriage? Do you think marriage is something that everyone should look to have at some point in their lives?
I think it's a good thing. I do. I really do. Especially if it's a person that you're really compatible with, and you all have fun together, and it's your friend, I really think that it could be a wonderful experience. I really do.
And being a believer, I was saying to Kathy that I just believe that God knows what's best for us. And, you know, when he said that it's not good for man to be alone, there's a reason that he said that.
Exactly. Let me get it right. Oh, boy. I can't think of which apostle it was in the Bible, But he told that person that I'd rather be single, so that single-minded, so that you can do God's work. But if you're going to risk burning in hell, then get married. So in other words, don't fornicate and do all of those things. If you cannot, you know, be true to the word and abstain, then you need to be married.
Well, let me just ask you, you know, because a lot of people believe that they can be single without fornicating, and I think that women have a better ability to do that than men. But is that something truly viable for adult people to do? Can adults truly live their existence without participating in intimacy without being married? Is that really possible, Kathy?
The monks do it. The nuns do it.
The nuns and the monks say they do it. Now, all of them didn't do it.
Yeah, well, I can only go by what they say.
Go ahead, Regina. Give me a minute.
I can only go by what they say. I
know
I'm not a nun nor a monk.
Well, you know in history that they found babies in those facilities for nuns, and I'm sure some of those ministers were sneaking. So now be assured that there have been always, through humanity, there have been people who say they did one thing but did another. So let's be honest about that now.
Yeah.
And I have been a believer all of my life, and I'm going to go on record as saying I have never abstinence is not something that I've always done without somebody making me do it.
Okay, so let me address that. Now, if someone says that they're a virgin, okay, if someone says that they're a virgin, who are we to question what someone else say they are? There are people out there that have saved themselves until they got married. Now, no, not everybody, but we don't know that. So if someone do say that they're a virgin, we have to go by what that person's word says. Just like us, if we say something that's true, we want the other person to believe it, whether it sounds reasonable or not, right? So I believe that there are people out there that are virgins, that have not had any sex, that are committed to themselves to save themselves till that particular time.
Well, Kathy, let me just say this to you. You know, and on this show, we always want to be honest with each other. And I believe you're right. I believe there are some men who are capable of waiting until they're married. I believe there are some women who are more than capable. I believe more so in women. There are some women who are very capable. But I want to also tell you this. I'm going to make this comparison. There are some people who say they are vegetarians. And there are some people who, when they say they're vegetarians, that means that they don't eat no meat of any kind. And then there's some vegetarians who don't have meat or take anything. All they eat is vegetables. Everything they get does not breathe. And so they don't drink milk, cheese. They don't do none of that stuff. So some people there's some people who take being a virgin to a different level. Now, and there's some people who indulge just enough to say they're not they're virgins or they're not participating, but they're doing things that are beyond what they should be doing. And so that's okay, but you need to be real about it, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to tell you, there were times when I've been in parties or been around people, and I had my significant other say, oh, yeah, I'm making James wait till marriage. And I sit there and just shake my head. And I say, wow. Now, they didn't go on to say, well, James spent the night at the house. They didn't go on to say James touches me inappropriately. They didn't go on to say, well, you know, we play until this and that happens. You understand? So some people give you the, say, just enough or want to portray themselves as one thing when it's not, they're not fully divulging all the information. So that's all I'm going to say. You have to take people at their word, but there's some people out there tasting the meat before they get married.
And that could be possible, Regina, too, but again, to what I said before, there are people out there that are not tasting the meat.
Well,
y'all just got me tickled tonight.
I'm just saying. I was just embarrassed. I'm just telling you on a personal level, I was embarrassed that my significant other was making those kind of statements in public. And
why were you embarrassed?
I was embarrassed because I knew it wasn't true. I mean, I knew that there were things that we weren't doing, but there were things we were doing that were just as not acceptable. You know, that's what I'm saying.
What's the definition of whatever it is that you're saying that y'all were almost doing?
Well, my thing is, I don't think if you're a virgin or you and your husband are saving each other for marriage, there shouldn't be any heavy petting, and there shouldn't be, you know, if you go beyond kissing and y'all under each other's clothes, then you don't went too far. Now, but I'm one who's a believer in saying that men and women need to go ahead and get married. If they're in love, they need to go ahead and get married, so they don't fall prey to their intimate desires. And so, you know, if you truly think you love each other, go ahead and get married so that won't play a part. But I just don't believe in just being untrue to yourself. You got to be real with yourself. Some people are not able to do that. You know, if you're going to kiss a man, if you start kissing a man, you need to know that you may fall prey to your other desires. And when men and women start dating and liking each other, how many of them are able to go without kissing? Because you know kissing is a gateway to everything else.
That doesn't mean that they're going to go further than that.
It is the gateway.
And so you're saying. And so you're saying that when a man and a woman get together and they like each other, kiss, and they get this feeling that they might want to go further, then they should get married and not go further.
No, I'm saying to
you,
you
don't think
they need to, if they're, I think if they're committed to being virgins, they better make sure they kiss in the restaurant and not at home in his bed.
Well, now, just because a man and a woman meet each other, it depends on what time in their life they meet, and they may not be virgins. They may just decide to abstain from sex until they are married.
And
you're saying
and
that is what
you,
they should do?
I'm saying to you that you should not put yourself in a position where you are going to fall prey to your desires. So if you meet someone and after 2 or 3 months you really think that's going to be your husband, there's no reason for you to wait a year and make yourself and put yourself in a position where you might fall prey to your physical desires.
Well, you can fall prey to your physical desires by all sorts of means. So I'm thinking that you're putting a narrow scope on that.
I'm being very realistic, okay? Because there's a tendency for people not to be realistic. And I'm not saying that you have to be. I'm not saying that you can't have a successful marriage if you participate in sex before marriage. That's not what God calls you to do. But I just think people need to be realistic about the things they say and the things they share, so that they don't be cultivating or suggesting that they're living one way and behaving in another.
The only person who was embarrassed was you, because the other people didn't know she wasn't telling the truth. So why were you embarrassed?
And
nobody knew she wasn't telling the truth for you.
It doesn't matter. I don't like living a lie. So I didn't like the fact that she put the lie out there.
Or were you mad because she told that story and it wasn't true and you wished that it was more than what it is?
First of all, I wasn't mad. I used the term embarrassed. I didn't use mad. I just was embarrassed that she was make those statements. And, you know, if you're going to make a statement, go on and tell them exactly what you did allow so you be real. Don't say something and leave people thinking one thing when you know it was another. And that's just what I'm saying. A lot of times people do that.
I don't think that conversation should have been a topic anyway. Because
what you all do in
the privacy of your own home is your business.
People share that a lot, Regina. Well, that's maybe you're right.
That wasn't anybody's
Maybe you're
business.
Right. But sometimes people say things because they believe that it makes them look good.
Mm.
And that's just being honest. Sometimes people say things because it makes them look good. And she would not be the first woman or man who thought somehow or another they looked better because they said they were trying to follow God's rules.
Mm.
You know, so we have to just be aware. You have to know how strong you are and how strong you're not. You know, I'm honest enough with myself to know that as I do my journey, I want. Excuse me?
Huh?
What did you say? What?
I said I couldn't hear you talking to the mic.
Did you say I'm not strong?
No, you said you didn't hear me. I said talking to the mic.
Oh, okay. I know that I'm not strong enough. Once I meet someone, we have to really decide where we're going and how soon we can get there. Because if we were to lag around, I may not be able to stay committed to my faith.
Mm-hmm. And James, that's very admirable of you. I think that's a great concept. That really is very admirable.
I'm just being honest. I think that some people, and I think that this journey that I've taken, you know, we're talking about love and honesty and connection. I've met women who were Christians, and they would tell you in the privacy of a conversation, they would say, well, I'm not getting married if I don't know what I'm getting. Now, you know, there are people out there who say that kind of stuff.
I know that.
Am I the only one that hear it?
I know that the word sex has, you can just go so many different ways with it. And you can just go so many different ways with it.
Is it possible to be happy in a marriage without sex?
Yes, people do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. I believe so too, Kathy.
Yeah, I believe there's a lot more to intimacy. I think there's a lot more to intimacy than just sex. I think that two people who truly love each other, that when you're cuddling, you're being intimate. When you're kissing,
mm-hmm.
you're being intimate. When you're rubbing your wife's feet and massaging her body, you're being intimate. So there are a lot of ways to be intimate with your woman other than penetration.
Well, you shouldn't be doing that because that's a gateway to doing something else.
It sure is. But you have to be honest about who you are and what you're able to defend yourself against. Because there's some people who get their feet massaged, then all of a sudden their ankle, and then all of a sudden their bicep, and then all of a sudden their thighs, they're not going to be able to stop.
How do you go from the bicep to the thighs? What happened to the knees?
Oh.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
Now we have to keep this G rated.
That's right. You ain't never heard nobody say lock your knees.
Lock your knees.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Do you know how many places? What about your ears? Aren't you some people are vulnerable because of their ears, their neck,
what
their
is he
fingers,
talking about
their
Kathy?
Toes?
Kathy, what's wrong with him tonight?
A lot of vulnerable areas, huh?
Kathy, what's wrong with him tonight? What is wrong?
It's time for him to get married. It's time for him to find his queen. It's time for him to find his queen so he can go ahead and get married.
It's time for him to find somebody.
Might just be my maybe marriage is not for me. Maybe marriage is not for me. Not for me in terms of being good for me, but maybe I don't have the right avenues of availability. And that's fine. I got my daughter. I can love on my daughter from a distance.
Well, you just said you wanted to be married.
I do. At some point in time, I do. I'm turning 57 this year. I'm getting old fast. And, I do. But I also remember my mom only got married once. And she lived a very happy and beautiful life. But I'm sure she would have been happier had she been married. And I wish I would have been a better son to her and allowed her to get married.
You think you'll be happier if you're married?
I think I'd be much happier. I mean, I could have somebody to watch a movie with, eat popcorn with, have dinner with every night. Oh, man, there's a host of better things than being single. I believe in marriage 100%. If it was up to me, I wouldn't be divorced now. If it had been up to me.
Well, it's coming. It's coming. So prepare yourself. That's
right.
You're going to be able to. Kathy,
you know how many women are listening to this show?
Yeah, they looking for a good man.
There's a difference. There's a difference, Kathy and Regina. There's a difference. Now, I don't want somebody to take advantage of what I bring to the table, make life miserable for me. I want someone who is going to make me glad that I met them. So, if I wanted to be married, I could run out there and get married, but I want to have the right special person that I want my Michelle, and I hope that doesn't offend anybody.
Well, let me tell you, I heard that the other day. Let me tell you what I heard the other day. People run around here saying they want their Barack and they want their Michelle. But Barack and Michelle were dirt poor when they were students in school and when they got out of school, they had to work together to get what they have. Now
they had a plan.
They had a plan. Now, Jane, you know, I think, you know why I think you're not married? I think you're
and
not
Regina,
married.
And Regina, why would you think that I'm married, not married?
You said you're not married.
I want you to be honest. Why do you think I'm not married?
I think you're not married because you look at women and you say, are they out to get me? Are they out to get what I bring to the table? It's like you look at them suspiciously. You suspect of everybody. You think they're trying to get you.
Well, I have I've been lucky, and nobody has done that to me. And I'm telling you that because neither of my wives.
And you're not married either.
No, but neither of my wives turned me against marriage. They were both nice people. I love both of them. I would never speak ill of them. Nobody on this show or ever can tell you an ill word that I've ever said against them. They were both very nice people, both loving people. Sometimes things don't work, so I won't ever speak ill of them, and neither one of them tried to take anything away from me either. So I think I have a good disposition when it comes to women and related to just wanting to have a very nice lady. I know my daughter has a concern, and certainly she may be a little biased because she doesn't. She knows in the end she wants a little more than enough money to bury me, but outside of that, I think I'm willing to give people a chance. I know I don't want a spender anymore. You know, men and women can be spenders. I don't want to ever marry someone who's a spender. And I mean, some women aren't in control. You know, I guess I have an ill feeling, and maybe somebody need to help me spend a little more. Maybe I don't spend enough. Maybe somebody need to help me get away from that position I'm at. You know, because I don't have 10 suits in my closet and 10 pair of dress shoes. But maybe I need to do a little better than that.
Man, somebody come and take you shopping and spend your money on you, you'll say, I ain't going to spend. You're not going to have me spending my money, and I can't leave no money for my daughter. Uh-uh, no. She a spender.
Yeah, I think Regina's right, James.
I would welcome spending some of it on clothes, but I'm just not that person who goes out and just try to keep their wardrobe up to task every month. No, I'm not that person. I can't tell you that. But if I had to go to a wedding or something really special, I'd have to go out and buy me something new, you know, because I definitely ain't got nothing that I said, oh, I really want to wear.
I heard you, girl.
But listen,
I've been to 10 events, Kathy, and I haven't gone out to purchase anything yet.
Wow.
But isn't there some people out there who like a man who's comfortable in jeans and a t-shirt? Why can't I? I mean, I'm a jean and t-shirt guy.
Depending on if the t-shirt got a hole in it. Jeans got a hole in the pocket, and the t-shirt got a hole under the arm. No, I don't want no man no jeans and t-shirts.
Well, you're a mess. I can guarantee you I got some jeans without holes in them and some t-shirts without holes in them. I go buy myself a lot of shea butter and a lot of oils and stuff. So I stay up on my shea butter and my oil. I love those things. So I try.
Well, he's trying, ladies. Listen, he's preparing himself for you.
Now,
where are you?
Now, we're supposed to be talking about intimacy and infidelity, and this can't be about me now. We ain't trying to get me married now. Now I'm not going to spend 12 days if y'all trying to get me married.
James.
Yes.
I've always been told don't have to get ready. Be ready.
Be ready.
Sound like you're ready.
No. I just said to you and Kathy, I am committed to these 12 days, but if these 12 days going to be about finding me a wife, I can't do it. That's too many days. Now, I got the house ready. I got the house ready, and that's all the ready I want to get. I am in need of a shave and a haircut, though. I ain't seen my barber in a quick minute. Listen, I'm finna go on break. I'll be right back. Can we get back on topic?
In the past, my life has been inundated by those who truly didn't understand the term commitment. The connections would flourish and become entangled by daily life experiences. Quickly, that which seemed so promising turned barren. What has recently appeared before me seems to break all the rules of the past. I find myself waiting to overcome the next obstacle because the connection will be strengthened by the experience. You have created a love within me which was unforeseeable. I've never known love. Conceived it could be between a man and a woman. I never dreamed that my belief in the Lord's word would manifest itself in this fashion. I live to put into words what being one with you does to my spirit. I look forward to loving you in a way not known to either of us. Have I ever known love like this? I've never known love like this. I've never known love like this. I have never loved like this before. I refuse to allow it to disappear as those in the past. Search for most of my adult life. It would be crazy to let the daily distractions of living dismantle what I have discovered. I will not look back, but embrace the new love created by our connection. I've never known love like this.
Got me tongue-tied. Thoughts, love, and reflection. Brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want you to all to visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com, and I want you to also email me at djames82@aol.com. We want to have your opinions and your suggestions related to the kind of topics we should have on thoughts, love, and reflection. Now, how do we go about getting off of me and back on the topic? Is it possible, Regina, for men and women to be committed for a lifetime? Is it possible for a man and woman to live their long connection without being involved in extramarital affairs?
Yes. But it's up to the individual. It's up to each individual to decide that he or she does not want to go outside of their marriage first. I believe it's up to the individual to say everything I need is within this marriage.
And I think you're right. We have to believe that anything that we desire and want can be found in the person that we've fallen in love with, and that there's nothing outside of that that we want bad enough to risk the relationship that we formed. And that's what we have to want to be able to do. You can't be caught up in the thought that somehow or another you want to continue to risk that which you have.
You're absolutely right. And you got to say, all I need is right here.
And understand that you're going to be better for it, because if you go outside of your vows, there is got to be a price to be paid. And so many people don't understand. You can do wrong, but there's going to be a price to be paid. One way or other, you're going to pay for that infidelity. Cassie, what do you believe about that?
Well, I want to ask you about that song you just played. Where did that come from? Although we were talking about love, you came out and played that song about you've never loved like this before. So can you just tell us what that all means and where that's the motivation of that came
from?
Well,
Kathy, let me just tell you this. I believe it is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved. So I have been in love, and I've known love, and it ain't easy, but yeah, I've been there and done that, and once you love, you can't get it out your head. So you believe me, I'm gonna keep that song no matter what for a long, long time, and it's gonna be my little secret. That's one of them inside secrets. That's one of them inside secrets you can't share with everybody.
What was the song?
Play it again, Jay.
I never knew love like this. That's my first single.
Oh,
you heard that song before.
Not spoken word.
Well, okay. I didn't sing. I spoke the word. That's true.
Oh yes, I've heard it before.
Okay, so yeah, I started my show off with that song many moons ago. Now I continue to play it because it continues to have value for me, and I'm probably going to play it for the rest of my life.
So you're heartbroken? You're missing that person? So you got to play that for the rest of the
day? How do we keep getting it? I thought I took a break so that we could get off of me. Now, you know that I am honest, and I'm not going to lie. So But I should not be having these questions posed to me in a fashion where I might divulge information that I don't want to share.
All I say is, if you keep playing that song, you may be running off this right.
Well, talking about love, right? Aren't we talking about love today?
Listen, there's a commercial where the man is sniffing a towel, or he's sniffing something, and he says, "How can I get over this? It still smells like her." And well, there's some things you just ain't meant to get over. So it is what it is. So you have to just accept it for what it is.
You're absolutely right, but you can get over it. I know what you're saying. Well, you know what? We can say this. Let's talk about a love, since you played the song, a love of something or someone that we have, and every now and then you still think about that person. So we can say it like that, right? So
that's right.
That's what okay, so, we've all had those times, right, Regina?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You have to be aware that there's some things that were worth losing, because at least you had the opportunity. I have some memories that I won't be released, and so that there's some things that I've experienced that nobody can ever take away from me. So, you know, when I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm dreaming, you know, those dreams were real one time.
You know, let me say something before we even go deep into that one now. But there's an old saying that says, don't cry because you lost it. Smile because you had it.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Now,
That's good, Regina.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Because ain't nobody take that away from you.
Don't cry because you lost it. Smile because you had it.
Wow.
Well, Regina, I don't know if I shared this with you all before, but during my first marriage, I had the misfortune of having my wife and I having the same doctor. We had the same general practitioner, and I think I ended up changing because I didn't like the fact that this man had become intimate with my wife through being her doctor. You know, there's an intimate relationship between a doctor and a woman, and I didn't like the fact that he had that. Now, what that makes me think about is that what you make me think about is that, you know, some people might share my heart because they have taken my place, but they can't take away my knowledge. And so my love for my past will always be a part of my present.
Well, you know what I enjoy is, and this is to say I enjoy it, but when you know it, when there's a special event that a special memory that the two of you share, and the new person can't share that event, but you may see each other and a little smile curl may come up on the end of your edge of your mouth, and you two are thinking the same thing, remembering the same event. Nobody can take that away from you.
Well, I'm not going to subject myself to being in the same place at the same time about that. So I'm going to leave that alone. I ain't strong enough to deal with that. So I'm going to keep my distance, because I couldn't stand to allow myself to be in the same place at the same time with somebody else is holding somebody's hand or have their arm around their waist. So I leave that alone and just remember from a distance.
You may inadvertently cross paths, and you never know when that's going to happen. You could cross paths in an airport. You could cross paths across town in another city, and she is with that person, but there's a special memory. And the two of your eyes meet, and the eyes twinkle, and there's a curl in the ends of your mouth.
I have a fragile ego, Regina, so I don't want that to happen. I'd much rather do it this way. I don't want my feelings hurt.
You're ahead of the game because that person doesn't know what you two share. Still, that still has you all having that tickling feeling.
I hope you feel good about this. See, you know now that you never give Regina a bone because she's going to hold on to it no matter what you do to try to take it away from her. I'm holding you totally accountable for this.
Oh, wow. Please don't.
Yep, I'm holding you accountable. Well, let me just say this to you guys. I am, you know, as we get closer and closer to Valentine's Day, you know, there used to be a time when I used to get close to Valentine's Day and get close to Christmas, and I said, wow, man, look how much money I'm saving. And it is getting a little less enjoyable to save the money. You know, I'm saying, boy, look here. Sometimes I wish I was in a position where I could spend that money for that special someone.
Well, it's not coming soon. It's coming soon, James. No, that's what the men are supposed to do. James, just keep saving it because whoever she is, she's going to be so happy because you're going to put it all on her, right?
Yeah, I don't know about all, Kathy. You know, we have to be good stewards. Now, God didn't call us to be crazy.
No, I'm saying you said you were saving. You said you were saving, right?
See?
Oh, well, I'm just saying that, you know, in this time, there are men out there who are enjoying, the hunt for their special someone, a nice gift, and I'm not allowed to do that. And so,
why?
It would be because I don't have anybody to give a gift to.
Man, if you did have somebody, you'd probably tell them you were out of town on Valentine's Day and go get the leftover flowers the day after. Man.
I don't know why you're saying that.
But, James, you don't have your eye on anybody. Get somebody some flowers. Make somebody happy, James.
I'm a loner. I don't have nobody getting no flowers, too. I don't know what you're talking about. And you're getting all
well,
up in
what?
My Kool-Aid, too. Why are you all
guess
up in
what?
My Kool-Aid? I ain't asked you about your Kool-Aid.
I'm glad I don't have anybody because I don't want to spend any money. I'm just like y'all men.
It's been a beautiful day.
What you say, Kathy?
It's been a beautiful day.
Well, I tell you what, Kathy, again, this is your fault. You let us, when I played that, I wanted to go down memory lane again. I did not necessarily think that I would be subjected to this questioning because of my stroll down memory lane.
That was
James,
a beautiful song.
Play, Play Minnie Riperton, Back Down Memory Lane.
Well, we're at the end of another evening, and I want to thank you all so much. And Kathy, I want you to spend some time thinking about Saturday's show. We got a long time before 8 o'clock. Kathy and Regina, you are the only two that are here this evening. So I'm going to ask the two of you to come up with Saturday's show for 8 o'clock and email me or text me what you think we ought to talk about related about love.
Okay, will do.
All right. Okay, you all take care, and I'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. And here goes your Minnie Riperton, Regina.
Because you're beautiful, making love with you is all.